It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, hello, folks. It's your old buddy, Luke Clayton. It is once again time for us to talk about the outdoors. I have an interesting guest today, Mr. Terry Tate. We're going to talk about air rifles, how they've progressed to where they are today. Now, today's show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website is biggame.org. And also made possible by Sniper Hoglights. That website is sniperhawglights.com. Standing by up in Cumbria, Texas, is Mr. Terry Tate, right here in the heart of KETR country in northeast Texas. We're going to learn something about air rifles. Terry, thank you, buddy, for being with us.
You're welcome.
You know what? I've already learned a lot about how air rifles have progressed through the years, but what really shocked me, Terry, you know, I was bragging on some of the guns that you've made, and you said that the technology was here, I believe you told me, back in the 1500s.
Yes, sir. The Austrians were one of the first ones to develop air rifles, and repeating air rifles that would shoot as many as 20 shots before they had to refill with air.
That is amazing. In other words, could I compare those to what today would be, a semi-automatic?
Well, it was a bolt-action type mechanism, but it would repeat, shoot 20 times before they had to fill up with air, and they were shooting on low pressures, about 800 PSI. Lewis and Clark had a famous Austrian air rifle that they carried on their journey from the Missouri to the California coast and back. It kind of kept the Indians at bay, as they say, because they didn't really know how many of them they had. And it was a 38 caliber. The Austrians also built lots of guns that had 62 calibers. They shot a big round ball.
62 caliber. That's amazing. My gosh. And were those, say the gun with on the Lewis and Clark expedition, was it one that you would pump up to create the power? Was it spring-loaded? How did it get the force?
Yes, sir. They had a hand pump that they pumped a buttstock up with, and the buttstock would hold air, and it would screw onto the gun, and then they could shoot all 10 to 15 shots pretty easy out of it. The valves and stuff were made out of horn.
Yeah, I mean, plastic was centuries ahead, you know. I mean, no, you know. Out of horn, and that would hold the air, the compressed air.
Yes, sir, most of the time.
it's probably not quite as reliable as the materials that you use to build your guns with. Folks, our guest is Terry Tate. Terry lives right up here in Cumbie. I'm going to bet a lot of you listening already know Terry, especially if you're an outdoors type. But it's a fascinating subject that Terry knows just a whole lot about. If you go to the KETR website, you'll see a picture of Terry, which will be archived right here on our show for a long, long time. But this is with Terry and a big hog. That's probably what's really whetted my interest in the current air rifles, Terry, is, you know, there is a lot of talk now about hunting them with big game. Hogs, for instance, with air rifles, and that kind of blew my mind. I thought, well, yeah, maybe. See, I'm thinking 22 caliber. I'm thinking maybe if you could drive that pellet just in the right place, whatever, but that's not a 22 caliber that you kill this hog with, is it?
No, sir, that's a Dennis Quackenbush built that gun. Dennis is probably one of the finest air gun builders in the United States. He's a custom air gun builder. That's a 458 caliber air gun that he built, and I shot that hog with a 378 grain bullet, and it got a complete pass through with that gun.
Wow, big old now, hog. And well, let's think about rifles, air rifles like that for a bit. Now, what kind of how do you, for lack of a better term, I'll say, how do you charge it? How does that gun get its pressure, its air pressure?
Well, we use carbon fiber tanks, and you can also use scuba diving tanks, which will fill up to about 3,000 to 3,500 PSI. Then the carbon fiber tanks, like the firemen use, you can fill those up to 4,500 PSI. So that's normally what we use to charge our rifles with. Now, most of them will charge up to about 3,000 3,000 PSI is what we shoot, and get an average of 3 to 5 shots off per gun.
Okay. Now, say for instance that we're going to go hunting with, a gun, this type of gun, hog hunting. And how do you leave the tanks in the truck and charge it up before you go hunting, or do you take the tanks with you? How does that work?
Well, we usually just charge them up and then go hunting with the gun. Mm-hmm. Very seldom do you ever get more than 2 or 3 shots of something anyway.
So it's good for 2 or 3 shots then?
Yes, sir. It's good for about 3 shots, killing shots, and then a 4th shot would be a close-in shot if you needed it.
Okay. So you just now the bullets, could they be compared to conical in a muzzleloader or a round ball? How are the bullets configured?
Well, they're configured like a muzzleloading bullet, most of them. And Hunter Supply has developed quite a few bullets now. There's a lot of people molding bullets for the big bore air guns, and they make them like muzzleloaders. The better the bullet coefficient, the better the trajectory of the air rifle. And that's one of the things about air, is it's not like a firearm. You kind of have to allow for the windage and allow for the drop with the bullet. The average air gun, say that 358, will shoot that 300-grain bullet at about 750 feet a second, which is about 350 foot-pounds of energy. Plenty to pass clean through an elk.
So the velocity is not there, I mean, compared to, say, a centerfire rifle. But the effectiveness is in the accuracy, I guess, and also the heavy bullets. I mean, that's the stopping power, right?
Yes, sir. You're just throwing a big chunk of lead through something, to what you're doing.
Well, for me and others that know very little about this, say for instance, we have a dead rest shooting off of a, just say we're shooting off of a lead sled or a good sandbag rest, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to assume we have a scope, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, we got a rifle on a dead rest, and we've got a target out there at 50 yards. Now, the bore's clean. I mean, the rifling's slick. I mean, it's ready to shoot. What kind of group can you get out of a big bore, a huge big bore rifle like this?
Well, most of them will do an inch to an inch and a half group at that distance. You know, a good hunting rifle, a good big bore rifle.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of what we expect out of them. At 50 yards, we expect, you know, a 2-inch group would be probably around the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them will shoot a lot tighter group than that. We have some of them that will pretty much stack them on top of each other.
Man, now what is, let's shift gears a little bit, Terry. What would, say we're wanting to shoot 100 yards for deer sight, deer and average hogs, animals that weigh 200 pounds or less. Are there current air rifles of big bore caliber that you could use to hunt at 100 yards now? Are they available?
Oh, yes, sir. The one that I have in that picture will definitely kill a deer or a size animal or a big hog at 100 yards. It's how far can you hit one? It's kind of that way it goes with air.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to keep them 100 yards and under.
Yes, sir.
It's kind of like it's a little less power than you're looking at with a muzzle loader, so you have to use it accordingly and try to be humane and get your close shots in and try not to take too far shots with them because they do lose their power quick.
The trajectory on those, you know, just say for instance, an inline muzzle loader sighted in 3 inches high at 100. I've done this a lot, and you know, out to about 175 yards, you can pretty much hold center of shoulder with one of those. Say you're shooting a 225 grain sabot, you know, I mean, you know, your drop is not going to be 6 or 8 inches. Now, with this lower velocity and the heavy bullet, I'm going to guess the trajectory drop from 50 to 100. Is it more than say a muzzle loader are about the same, or how would you compare the drop in trajectory?
Yes, sir, it's quite a bit more.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we're not shooting at near the speeds, but there is some air guns out there now that's shooting some very high velocity in .308 caliber and .258 caliber. We had a lasso shoot that Mr. Eric Henderson originated it, and it was a long-range air gun shoot. And last year we were shooting 300 yards and hitting silhouette rams and shooting 2- and 3-inch groups with air guns.
Yeah, that is amazing. I'm sure that you had them sighted in at that range, right? In other words, you knew where you had to know where to hold, right? You know.
Yes, sir. You have to know, and you have to sight your guns in to shoot that far.
Just like a muzzleloader, I bet that's where a lot of the fun comes in. You know, and truthfully, Terry, most hogs. If I look back, I bow hunt a lot also, but if I look back on all the hogs I've killed, obviously with a bow 30 yards or less, but rifles, muzzleloaders, you know, the vast majority of them, I would say if you had to take an average yardage, probably 50, 60 yards for hog hunting, you know?
Yeah.
So that'd put it well within range. Now, how about small game hunting? Say you want to hunt squirrels with an air gun. What would you recommend there? Like, obviously, you don't need these big bore guns, right?
Yeah. No, sir, but you need to go to another state. We can't do it in Texas. We can't hunt any game animal in the state of Texas with an air gun.
Now, that is really news to me, Terry. You mean you cannot hunt squirrels or rabbits?
No, sir. Well, I don't know if we have a rabbit season.
Well, there's no rabbit season, and really there's no squirrel season. In 90% of Texas, the western part of Texas, the only place the season never closes in most of Texas, you know that, for squirrel.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
In East Texas, there is a season. The fall season begins in October and ends in January, and then the May season, which is coming up. Well, so, okay, we don't want to mislead anybody. Don't be hunting them with an air gun, right?
No, sir. The state of Texas is one of the only states, one of the few states, I'll say, that it just totally limits air on any game animal. There's 47 species of exotics in the state of Texas that you can hunt.
Yeah, right.
And,
so hogs and exotics, you know. And well, I tell you what, I have a newspaper article, Terry, and you know this, and I want our listeners to know. I'm going to go hunting with you for hogs, and we're going to do an article. I guess the closest paper up for Northeast Texas is the Greenville Herald Banner, but that runs our column every Thursday, that paper. And I'm going to really get into it, and the only way I've learned to really learn something is to be out there on the ground or in the woods in this case. So I'm looking forward to that, Terry. Is there any, you know, websites or anything like that people could go to learn more about air rifles, air guns?
I'm going to get you a list of them.
Okay.
And I'll send you a list of air gun sites that you can go to.
Yeah, that's good. And I'm sure you could Google, you know, air rifles, and you could learn all about, you know, the different sites, the different manufacturers, and all that. But for now, Terry, I know that you make... do you build custom air rifles yourself?
Yes, sir. I'm kind of a newcomer into it, but
yeah.
I am building a couple of prototypes right now. I have out that we're working with.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks. If you want to know more about air rifles, you can contact me, and I'll work through Terry. It's a fascinating subject. But you can email me through catfishradio.com. My email address is right there. You can go to catfishradio.com and email Luke. If you have any questions, I'll hook you up with Terry. Terry, thank you so much for all this information. I look forward to getting with you, and I think I can do an interesting article because I know I'm not the only one interested in this.
Thank you.
Folks, we are out of time. I've enjoyed bringing this show to you. I want to remind you, you can go to catfishradio.com, and you can listen to the archive of an hour-long show that we do each week. So until this time next week, be safe in the outdoors.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.